In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. We've gone into detail with several guests about the potential human health impacts of fifth-generation wireless millimeter radiation, including cumulative neurological, cognitive, and reproductive effects. The increase of fifth-generation wireless radiation installations in and around our communities are now attached to utility poles in public buildings, bus and train shelters, public parks, and federally owned land. It's known that wireless radiation exposure opens the blood-brain barrier, allowing access for toxins such as aluminum and sodium fluoride. If you're essentially trapped in an environment saturated with fifth-generation wireless millimeter or microwave radiation, are there ways to mitigate the negative health impacts or eliminate the group of symptoms purportedly caused by exposure to electromagnetic fields? There are options such as wearing special clothing or using lead-based paint on the walls. However, our returning guest teaches a range of healing techniques that can help reduce the health impacts of microwave and millimeter radiation exposure through achieving specific states of mind. Dr. Serge Kahili King studied with master shamans from Africa to Hawaii and has trained thousands in his seminars. He has a doctorate in psychology from California Western University. King is the author of Mastering Your Hidden Self, Imagineering for Health, Kahuna Healing, and Urban Shaman. Dr. King is also the executive director of the nonprofit Aloha International. Dr. King, welcome back to Another News.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Dr. King, in our last interview, we explored many facets of your book titled Earth Energies, A Quest for the Hidden Power of the Planet, such as non-physical healing, vitalizing energy, and atmospheric energy. You also mentioned briefly that you teach individuals about self-healing techniques, for example, how not to tense up the body when exposed to microwave or millimeter wave radiation. Studies have been conducted that show how some people will feel wireless radiation expressed through symptoms such as headaches and weakness, and some will not. Yet within both types of people reacting differently, the blood shows an adverse effect, meaning that those that don't feel any symptoms are still being affected by microwave radiation. And you say if we don't resist and we de-stress, the energy passes through us. I suspect this would be very helpful to those that are living and working in areas with microwave or millimeter radiation transmitting constantly. Would you please go over some of the fundamentals of the healing strategies, such as defining stress?
All right. Well, this whole strategy is based on things that I learned from my adoptive Hawaiian family and their way of looking at things that are in the language. So, I mean, let me explain that first. The word for illness of any kind, general word in Hawaiian, is ma'i. And if you break that down into its roots, it becomes a state of great tension. And so all the Hawaiian methods of healing are involved in lowering this tension state. And whether, you know, whether it's herbs or whether it's massage or all the different ways that they might have. So when I began to take this knowledge and convert it into modern terms for people, this is the basis on which we did everything. We lower the stress. So now, it's very important to understand what we mean by stress, because it has two connotations. One is the stressor, And the other is, I guess we have to call it the stressee. So what I will do often when I'm trying to explain this is have a person in the class or workshop, whatever, I will have the person or everybody, it works better, raise their arms up so that their elbows are parallel to the ground, and then put their hands together, palms together, and I ask them to push with their right hand. About 90% don't move their hands. And then I point out that if they were actually pushing only with their right hand, it would flip over very quickly. But what they're doing as almost a subconscious reaction is pushing back with the left hand. Now, in this case, the right hand can be considered the stressor, whether it's microwaves or whether it's any other kind of high-energy source. And the left hand represents your reaction to that. And so the stress that we have in our bodies that affects our minds and our everything, but the stress comes from resisting the stressors around us. Now, it's not a bad thing. It's a very common and often, depending on the society and the people and the situation, a normal thing to resist back. But that's where the problems come. If you keep resisting back, you're increasing the tension in the body, and you are lowering the body's ability to do its natural healing.
This is what you're teaching people in the seminars that you conduct. Is this part of the Aloha International nonprofit?
Yes.
Waves are another fundamental energy component that you refer to. Would you talk, please, about this in context of healing techniques?
Sure, because that's what energy is. Energy is movement. This is such a big fundamental error that people make. This is common, in especially in our English language and some others, where everything is a noun, and a noun automatically becomes a thing. And energy is not a thing. Energy is movement, and movement in a wave. The best example that's clear, everybody can see, is two examples. One is wind, which moves in waves, and one is water, ocean waves. Okay, when a wave, you watch an ocean wave is a good example, and it's coming in from someplace over the horizon, and here comes the wave. Well, if you study the wave, and this has been done, the water isn't moving toward you, only at the last moment when it reaches a shallow shore. Otherwise, the water is moving up and down. The wave is moving through the water. Otherwise, we'd get all the water from the other side of the earth, especially here in Hawaii, which would not be a good thing. So the wave is moving through a medium. Now, sometimes that medium is your own body, and that's a normal thing. We have all kinds of normal waves moving through our body. But if, for various reasons, let's say that you have some tension in your body because of some emotional problems or because of some possibly physically toxic problems, why this increases the tension of your body, and when there is more energy waves from different sources that impinge upon you, then you're already in a state of stress, that is resistance to something, and it's simply going to increase. So it's like, you know, let's bring it down to real facts that are going on today. They talk about the people who are over 75 as being the most, you know, most susceptible to this virus that we're dealing with. But it's not because of the age. It's because of so many people over 75 are already in a state of stress for many different reasons. So here comes another one, and their bodies often are not able to handle that additional stress.
We have to think about energy in terms of waves in the context of healing ourselves. When we think this way, we have a better chance, or it's easier to conduct healing.
Well, it's easier when you do something to relieve the tension, whether it's mental or physical or emotional. See, we can have physical tension, and that can come from so many things. But the problem is, when we have emotional stress, we're resisting something emotionally, that affects the body. And the body accumulates more physical stress. When we have mental stress, when there's all kinds of things that we don't like or feel doubt about, that produces physical stress in the body too. So that's why there have to be so many different ways of helping people to relieve the stresses of the body. So that's why what we do is we give numerous techniques, all based on this idea of relieving tension.
If there is an individual in a work environment that might be sitting next to a wireless router, unaware that it might be hidden in the wall, so they can't see it, but they certainly feel uncomfortable, they might experience headaches, depression, nausea, and a range of other things. What would you suggest someone do to minimize the impact?
Okay, well, there are quite a number of possible things, but the thing to remember also is that most people are not affected by these things for whatever reason, but when you reach a certain state, then these things add additional stress, of course. Well, when we talk about relieving the tension, there are so many possibilities. For some people, meditation is a good thing because it takes them away from thinking about their problems, and the body, if you do it in an appropriate way, the body will automatically begin to slow down and relax. There are imagination techniques that can be done that can produce the same kind of an effect. There are stretching and breathing techniques which will help relieve a person's tension. There are even playing games and having fun, because an awful lot of people are stressed out by the work and they don't know how to enjoy things anymore. The joy of something is also very healing for the body.
These practices will begin to relax the body and the tension subsides. You still have microwave radiation passing through the human tissue.
See, I have been around microwaves a whole lot with no effects whatsoever. So the thing is, I know many others also. And so the thing is, it depends on your state of tension as to whether it's going to affect you or how it's going to affect you.
Right. I find this area fascinating because there are a lot of people that are suffering from the effects of microwave radiation around them, wireless radiation, and there has been a very large increase of microwave and millimeter wave antenna in communities around the country, across this country, internationally as well. Before the buildup increased, there were groups of people who were EMF sensitive. They had a hypersensitivity to electromagnetic fields.
Right.
Have you worked with those people?
Yes, I have. And let me give you one example. We had a group when I was based in Los Angeles, and we had a woman who joined our group to learn all about this stuff. When she joined, she was very susceptible to these kinds of radiations that you're talking about, to the degree that she was quite convinced that someone next door to her apartment had a machine who was purposely beaming these radiations to her. She covered her ceiling with aluminum foil, and when she went out, she always had an aluminum cap underneath, aluminum foil cap underneath her cloth one. And so she was in a very high state of stress most of the time. As she began to work with us, as she began to actually make friends where she hadn't been before because nobody judged her for anything, it took quite a while. But over the course of a year, by the end of a year, she had taken down all the aluminum foil. She never had any sense that anybody was beaming anything. She never wore a cap. She just didn't have any of those symptoms whatsoever because it was a combination of love and friendship and techniques that that helped her change her stress state.
Do you suspect there was also a physical component here where she was experiencing a high level of exposure to microwave radiation? Or
well, some kind of radiation at any rate, yes.
And while that level of radiation exposure hasn't changed, she is okay still?
Yes.
Could you describe what happened here?
Well, you know, the simple part of it is that as her tension state reduced because of all different kinds of changes and experiences that she was having, the techniques as well as the love, which she needed a lot, as her body relaxed, it was more able to experience these radiations without resisting to a degree that made her either uncomfortable or sick.
Deep breathing is another important component to the healing techniques. Would you talk more about some of these strategies?
There are all kinds of ways to use breathing, which the main component is the deeper part, the deeper breathing, and actually that's the primary simple thing to do, purposeful, deeper breathing. Not rapid, but one very good way is to, when you inhale, it's the inhaling that's the most important part, where you inhale deeply and keep a simple count to four. This is going to change and improve the oxygenation of your blood. And then breathe out, and you don't really have to do anything more, but if you like to breathe out and keep the breath out for a while, that's okay. But the main benefit is holding the breath for a few moments and then going back to it. You only need to do this for about a minute, and you're going to make some very important and good changes in your body and its relationship to your environment.
I noticed that just simply practicing it and even doing the visualization techniques such as imagining the stars when you breathe in and then imagine the pit of a volcano or something low in the earth. Very interesting. Do you do this as well?
Oh, yes, sure. This is one of my favorite techniques.
Would you suggest these techniques also for people suffering the symptoms from exposure to EMF?
Well, when you talk about EMF, now you're really talking about man-made EMF, okay? Because we are constantly, all of us, swimming in a sea of natural EMF as well as man-made, and the population of the Earth has not diminished to a considerable degree because of that. But there are a lot of people who are, as we said before, highly sensitive to it, some more than others. Like a place where there are power lines overhead, you'll have a certain percentage of people who will either get sick or have mental problems or something, and you'll have the majority of the population under those power lines won't seem to be affected at all. So again, this comes back because of other stress producers that the person is dealing with, and that makes them more susceptible to these very subtle EMF waves.
Definitely see how this is or can be a big problem for an individual who may feel isolated, not understood by friends or maybe family members when they start to describe what's going on. And even if there are people who are targeting them with microwave attacks, deliberately, there seems to be a pretty big epidemic of that. So given this situation, de-stressing, feeling loved by people, which de-stresses the body, these sound like that they would have a significant impact. All of this is to de-stress the body so it does not tense up and hold these waves passing through the body. Is that essentially what's going on in terms of the physics?
In terms of the physics, that's essentially it. Because even if the body is stressed by some form of energy, and that can interfere both with the mental and the emotional state. So it's really useful to work with all of these three states so that they help each other rather than hinder each other.
So we've gone over the basic definition of stress in the body. You spoke about waves as the fundamental energy component, and we have to think in terms of waves when we're thinking about energy and healing ourselves. You've taught thousands of people in your seminars. Would you tell listeners about some of the people you've taught these techniques to?
Well, what we have in our organization is we have people who have decided to dedicate themselves to making the world a better place and teaching these same things to other people. So we have a core of people all around the world who are spreading this knowledge in every way they can. Some of them specialize in particular areas of it, but the main thing is that we have set up a situation where both we have what we might think of as professionals. I don't mean that in a monetary way, but they've been trained to do these things and help others do what I've taught. We also have, like on Facebook, we have a group that anyone can join and get ideas and assistance from each other in this open group using these same concepts.
And how would they find you on Facebook?
Well, for me, it was just by Serge Kahili King. And if you want to get a broader idea of what I do, then I have over 150 YouTube clips that are available to anyone at no cost and no advertising either. And on Facebook, the group is called Hunatics. That's the people chosen their nickname for working with this knowledge.
Is that Hunatic?
Oh, yes. That's correct spelling, Hunatic. Remember, everything that I'm teaching, I've written a lot of books in which different aspects of and different ways to use this knowledge are in there with a multitude of techniques. Mm-hmm. The techniques are not the same as the knowledge. Any technique that works is adaptable and used in our system.
Now, Dr. King, I know you have gone over this to some extent, but I want to get more specific for some listeners. If someone came to you saying they've been attacked by microwave weapons or they feel as if this is happening to them, how would you help someone like that?
Well, first I would ask them what they want. And if what they want is to not have those reactions, or if they want to simply feel better, or if they want to do something about what it's doing to them, well, then I have a technique in a booklet form and a book form if anybody wants it. And also it's on one of the video clips. It's called the Dynamind Technique. And it is a technique that's been extremely successful all around the world for eliminating many kinds of stress symptoms. And anybody can, if you want to, write to huna@huna.org and ask for a copy of the Dynamind booklet. We send it out free all around the world to any individual. So what they'd be doing with this is using the technique for the symptoms, for the specific symptoms that they are experiencing, with no judgment of what they believe about it or what may be happening. This technique is designed to work on the symptoms regardless of what the source might be. By itself, the technique is one of that includes breathing and also includes touching in sequence particular parts of the body and making a statement that directs the change to this place with the specific problem. Now, it looks like from outside that it's one of these tapping techniques, and although we use tapping to touch these places on the body, that's not what's doing the making the change, because it can be done by touching it, by pressing it, by massaging it. There's all kinds of ways, but using a tapping procedure is just a simple way, and so anyone can do that. And so, yeah, this is what it consists of. We have a particular posture, a particular statement, and a way of making that statement. It's not an affirmation. And then you touch these different parts of the body and take a deep breath from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. And it is amazing. In most cases, it'll change immediately. In some cases, you have to do, we call one of those a round. And so if you still have some trace or some problem or the area of problem has shifted, then you do the technique again.
What has been the feedback from those using this technique?
Well, the feedback has been absolutely wonderful because it works. And we even have Dynamind practitioners that we've trained, and we have a place on our website where people can contact them, and so that they get more direct information and help.
Dr. King, could you talk about the importance of understanding how the body heals in this way, you know, especially in contrast to Western medicine?
Yes. A lot of Western medicine is based on trying to fix the body when something happens. And while in our teaching, we say use anything that helps you. So we're not against Western methods. I mean, if surgery seems to be the right way to go, then use surgery. If certain kinds of medicine seem to be helpful, use them. But in addition, there are all these other processes that can be used to help shorten the time of healing.
And once again, the core component here is de-stressing the body. And to me, I don't think you can talk about this enough, considering the society that we're currently living in and the high number of sources of stress that occur in our everyday lives, that we're not really consciously aware of all the time, but it starts to build up, and then you start not feeling very well over time, and then you're taking a pill for this and a pill for that. But the de-stress techniques are very, very important here in terms of relaxing the body so you are not experiencing and suffering through a lot of symptoms here, especially when exposed to the microwave and millimeter wave radiation. And I think that's very important for listeners and those who are concerned about this to really grasp.
Use what seems to be appropriate, but don't limit yourself to one particular way of trying to help or heal the situation. There are so many other things that the direct feedback, like you mentioned briefly, the idea that we used of the imagination and intention of changing the size of your finger, that's a real effect that can be seen and experienced by anybody. So
let's take listeners through that, because they don't know what we're talking about here, and it does really work. Would you go through that for listeners? They can do it while they're listening.
Sure. Okay. So for this little simple thing, it's to demonstrate some certain concepts of this. But if you put you have a crease at the wrist, and if you take both hands and you put the creases together and bring your fingers up to palm to palm, why, for most people, the middle finger will be the same size on both of them. Sometimes it isn't. If it's the same size, then just put one hand down and keep the other one up. If they are different, you put the taller one down and keep the shorter one up. Okay. Now, with the hand up, what you're going to do is it's almost like talking to the hand, and you want to do it with some energy, with some intention, with some feeling, and you really want to tell your finger to grow. And it could be something as simple as repeating, grow finger, grow, grow. And do that for usually only 30 seconds is necessary, but a little longer if you want to. And then put your hands back together quickly. And most people will find that the hand that was up is taller. The middle finger is taller than the other one. It has actually grown. Now, this is temporary, so don't worry about it. But your intention has actually changed what's possible for the body in that moment. Now, some people, and it might be because of doubt or skepticism or whatever, some people don't get that change. But for the vast majority of people, it's a very easy demonstration of what the power of intention and directed energy moving in your body can do.
Yes, this is really important, because it is a great illustration of how flexible our biology is in conjunction with our intention in our minds. There's another healing technique that I read in Chapter 7 in your book titled Instant Healing, and you were able to some degree, heal broken bones with a technique. Would you go over that one, please?
All right. It's been done by others than me, but in my personal experience, I'll make it simple. I was hiking down a river, in the river, by myself, taking a branch all alone, climbing over boulders, got up one boulder and fell. Now, this is a technique, we call it the mind blower technique, because it doesn't seem like it's possible, but it is. And I can give you some other examples. So anyway, I fell down, put out my right hand to stop me, and crumpled the first three fingers. And so they were twisted in all different ways. And so I sat there. Now, because normally what I would have done with a situation is repeat the movement, but here I had to pretend that I was repeating the movement, so that I moved my hand against the rock over and over, and in a very loud voice, then I was able to, I shouted to myself over and over again, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. And I kept that up probably in that case for about 20 minutes. And so I kept that up for about 20 minutes, and at the end of 20 minutes, my fingers had all brought themselves back into alignment. And one of the fingers was still swollen, but the other two were fine. And it was very clear. Now, I have to admit, this was not a compound fracture. The bones had been broken, but this was not a compound fracture, so I would not have tried that if it had been. But it worked beautifully. Now, other people have done it in so many different kinds of situations, for burns, for cuts, for traumatic, like slamming the fingers in a car door, for all kinds of things. And the body exists in the present moment. And because of that, if you can bring your whole attention to bear on the present moment, and you can repeat an action as if it didn't quite happen. For instance, when I was moving my hands back toward the rock, I made very sure I didn't touch the rock. So you're creating a new memory in that moment. And if you can keep the focus, this is what your body is going to relate to. And the memory of what happened is going to change, and your body is going to heal right then. Now, we've had some people be able to do this on old wounds. One woman had had a scrape that she had when she got off a motorcycle and touched it was a burn, actually, when she touched the muffler. And so she did this several weeks later. She decided to try it out, and so she stood like she was on the motorcycle and kept lifting her foot off as if she was getting off without touching the muffler, did this over and over again. Oh, I can't remember exactly for how long, but it must have been 5 or 10 minutes. And in the immediate situation, nothing happened, but 3 days later, it had healed itself up, whereas she had had this constantly all these weeks. So there are just many, many ways in which this can be demonstrated so clearly that relieving the tension works and sometimes seems like a miracle.
Yes, this is getting into a very fascinating area, and it reminds me of some of the stories in the book Phantoms of the Brain, where they talk about how schizophrenic people will change their hair color or their eye color. And the body, the mind is really taking over the physiology of the body here. And this is very similar. And you're almost using time travel in telling the mind that this didn't happen. Let's go in reverse.
Yeah, well, except you're not going anywhere. You are in the present moment. It's not happening. See? And that's, it's the present moment aspect of it that changes the memory of the past.
There's another example that was in there where this guy was water skiing. Could you go over that one for listeners?
Well, in this case, a woman friend, and her man she was with, they were water skiing, and his ski got caught in a wave, and he flipped over. And when he fell in the water, his ski came down and smacked his forehead, and it began bleeding. She jumped in the water, held him up, and while she was still in the water, she had to do this for him. Now, he was dazed. He was a little out of it, and that was why he was able to be susceptible to what she did. She took one of her hands and moved it toward his forehead to represent the ski. And she did the shouting of, "See, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened." When she was finally able to get him to shore and they wiped the blood off his forehead, there was no scar, no cut at all. The forehead was clear. So the blood didn't disappear, but the cut did.
You know, proponents of conventional medicine would say impossible, and they
that's right.
But and that's fine. But they really work overtime in imprinting those limited thoughts.
And the best way to unlearn them is to use something that has a very definite, immediate effect. See, that's what's impressive.
Yes, and the techniques that you use and mention, they're very simple, such as the extended finger technique. That's powerful.
I think that we have, as human beings, once we can learn how to take time to relax, whether it's through deep breathing, walking in a forest, doing something pleasurable, then we can find that we can tolerate what's in the world far, far better. We may find ourselves in situations where we have to, or we go through a process of pain or discomfort or illness, but we don't have to let that be the guideline for how things are going to be. This is why one of the most powerful things we can see, and it often happens with athletics, with athletes, who just because of their training are so determined to get well. It's the determination that changes things and helps them do that, even if they have to make modifications sometimes. It's like here in Hawaii, we had a young girl, and her arm was bitten off by a shark, but she would not give up. She went, as soon as she was able, to go back on the surfboard. And she is now one of the star surfboarding people in the world with only one arm. Whereas someone else might have just said, oh, this is terrible. I can't do anything about it. I'm going to give up. Well, it's not giving up. It's going forward regardless of what anybody says or thinks or what the situation is. Your energy focused on with your determination can make miracles.
What books would you recommend from the ones that you have authored that would help maybe some of the people suffering from EMF stress?
Well, Instant Healing is one. There's another book called Healing for the Millions. And these books can be found on Amazon in our own store called the HunaStore.net. But they're both about healing techniques. The nice thing about Instant Healing is that the publishers put a big index in the back so that you can look up different health problems and immediately go to the page where it talks about that. And Healing for the Millions is about that other technique that I told you, and it's full of case studies of people around the world who have used it successfully. And so those are the two that I would, for this particular purpose, this is what I'd come up with.
Do you find that you're using some of these techniques a lot just in every day?
Oh, I use them every day, yes.
And would you share some of those instances, so listeners have an idea of what that might look like?
Oh, well, okay, if I stub my toe, I'm going to use the technique of repetition. I give it different names in different books. If I, there's so many different ways in which I might use it. I use in the Instant Healing chapter that I gave you, I talk about some techniques based on a breathing technique called Pico Pico, and I use that very frequently for just simple de-stressing or for, there's one called the Pico Pico Incorporator as a technique in which you can use nature and a way of breathing with your attention on back and forth between your body and the nature around you to induce relaxing or releasing experiences in your body that help the healing.
That repetition technique, so listeners know, okay, you stub your toe, but then you have to repeat the motion.
You repeat the motion, yeah, stub your toe and back off. Repeat the motion back and forth, nothing happened, with your toe going toward what you stubbed it against, but without touching it.
Right. As we described, you have to say, repeat, nothing happened, so you're telling the brain.
That just helps your focus.
And you have to be careful. And it's very.
Yeah, right. You don't want to touch it again.
You have to have a presence of mind there, because a lot of people would be going experiencing pain, and usually people will be in pain and not think about this technique. So you have to have a presence of mind here.
Sure, sure. And you can try it out as practice. And what would it be like if I hit my thumb with a hammer or something like that? We have had doctors use it when they cut themselves, and they did the technique, and the cut was gone in an hour.
So these are conventional doctors, I'm guessing. Yeah. And yes. What's their response here?
It all depends on the doctor. There are some willing to look at different ideas and try different things out. So the response depends on the doctor.
Have you spoken to conventional thinking types who are amazed at the body's ability to heal like this?
Oh, sure. I'm seeing every once in a while. I have appointments with a ophthalmologist, and because I had a something with my eye that I wanted her to look at, and so now she sees me on a regular basis. She says I have a cataract, but she, every time I meet there, they take me on a vision test, and she says she cannot believe or understand how I can see so clearly. And I do. I can see very tiny type with no problem. I have techniques that I use for improving my sight, and they just scratch their heads about it.
It's very disappointing to me. We're missing this big chunk of information in our society. And it's some people would say it's criminal.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. It's ignorant. There are three things that are good to do often, but at least once a day. Pick your time. And that is bless the present, trust yourself, and expect the best. Now, to bless the present means to purposely acknowledge what is good in your immediate environment. You can just say, I like that, that's pretty, wow, how nice, or be more detailed if you like about that. What a great perfume that flower has, whatever it is. This is getting you into the present moment. You can even thank your body for the parts that work. And then trust yourself. Trust yourself in any situation to do the best you can. That's it. Don't regret what you did, because in any situation, you're doing the best you can. And so trust yourself to do that. And as far as expecting the best, you know, this has been proven over and over again. If you expect the best, you don't always get what you want, but you get the best that's possible in a given situation, and you are open to opportunities. If you're expecting the worst, you don't drive anything away. What you do is look at the worst and get the worst. So you're going to be far better off by expecting the best and trusting that the best is what's going to come. Like I said, not always exactly what you want, but that's life. But you're going to have far more opportunities to improve your life if that's your expectation.
Excellent. And these teachings that we went over are also a valuable gift to people specifically suffering with symptoms from microwave radiation exposure. And it's also a powerful reminder that the solution is in the environment, as you've pointed out, and simply shifting our way of thinking can produce miraculous results. Dr. Serge Kahili King, author of a range of very good reads, including Mastering Your Hidden Self, Imagineering Your Health, Kahuna Healing, and Urban Shaman. You're also the executive director of Aloha International. If you would remind listeners again where they could find your books and learn more about Aloha International.
You can learn more about Aloha International and have access to hundreds of articles in a wide range of things that are beneficial at huna@huna.org. The books are available on Amazon or what we call the HUNA store, which is HUNA.net. And, well, I said HUNA at HUNA.org. That's the email address. Just HUNA. www.huna.org is where you'll get the website.
Dr. Serge Kahili King, thank you so much again for being on In Other News.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I want to quickly go over a couple more techniques here. One that our guest, Dr. King, referenced was the Pico Pico technique, a Hawaiian word that means center to center. This technique was adopted from Dr. King's Hawaiian uncle, and it consists of shifting your attention from one place to another in conjunction with deeper breathing. The breathing assists in maintaining the attention and seems to amplify the mental energy. There are numerous variations to this technique in many applications. And in Chapter 7 of Instant Healing, there are three applications here. The Pico Pico tune-up. Inhale with your attention on the top of your head. Exhale with your attention on your navel. Intend to relax or be energized as you wish. A lot of people try to visualize energy moving from the top of the head to the navel while doing this, but not only is that unnecessary, it can even interfere with the process. Pico Pico works best when you give up trying to make something happen and just let the attention do the work. Only move your attention from your head to your navel. Don't try to move the energy. This technique is useful for mild anxiety, low levels of tension, when you need a quick energy boost, and for practicing the technique. The Pico Pico De-Stressor. Inhale with your attention as far above your head as you can. I often use the stars as a focus, but the clouds or sky are also good. Exhale with your attention as far below your feet as you like. The center of the earth works well, and so does the ground beneath your feet. And Dr. King writes, in Mongolia, I taught this technique to a local shaman who had a sudden onset of headache and nausea symptoms. In her belief system, this might have been a psychic attack from an enemy, but I suggested that she try this technique before doing anything else. If it were just heavy stress and we were in a stressful situation, then the technique would help. If the technique didn't change anything, then she could still do her own thing. The technique worked in a few minutes, so she didn't have to do any defensive rituals that time. I've used it myself in many severely stressful situations, and so have others, with instant to rapid healing effects. The Pico Pico Harmonizer. Inhale with your attention on your navel. Exhale with your attention on any part of your body that needs tension release or healing. Because this helps to increase circulation instantly, it is very good for stiff or sore muscles, but it really shines as an instant healing technique for numbness of limbs due to a cramped position while sleeping or sitting. If I wake up in the morning with a numb arm or hand, all I have to do is less than 30 seconds of this technique, and the numbness is gone without any pain or excessive tingling at all. The Pico Pico Incorporator, inhale with your attention on something outside of yourself that has qualities or associations that you desire. Exhale with your attention on a part of the body where you want those qualities or associations to manifest, and imagine the external object of attention in miniature at that location. Intend the appropriate effect. In London, I was walking in a park with some students during a break in a seminar. One of them told me he had a badly strained back. He showed me that he was unable to bend forward more than 10 degrees without a sharp pain. There was a breeze blowing, and I pointed out the leaves of an oak tree that were fluttering in the wind. I taught him this technique and told him to use the moving leaves for the focus of this attention. He did the technique during the 15-minute walk back to the classroom, and by the time we arrived, he was able to bend over almost 90 degrees without pain. He had inhaled his attention on the moving leaves, and when he exhaled, he had imagined those leaves moving in his back. That was an excerpt from Dr. Serge Kahili King's book, Instant Healing. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.